Podcasting Network.
Start the second hour. This is Off the Beaten Path. Steve Duncan's at the mic and down here in sunny Florida, central Florida here. And perfect timing. Good. We can talk about this here. Now, getting on to the listeners, thank you so much. You guys are just the sharpest people out there. Like I said, give bits and pieces to people. I think if you give too much information too fast, they tend to push away and they don't absorb and take it in. So I try to give a little bits and pieces here. But I had a little incident the other day then I have to just let you know about it. It's fun. It's funny in a way, and it also is an indicator of how successful the mainstream media is in brainwashing people. But my wife was working on a project here. I'm working on this project, so I'm going to let you more about it in the future here. But I ordered this commercial shirt press, and I'm going to work on the design for the RBN thing. I think I'm probably just going to keep the same logo, but how position everything. And I'm going to be making some RBN shirts for donations and stuff like that, trying to find ways to make more money for the network to keep us afloat, because I appreciate the listeners' donations. I do, and thank you. Please keep donating as much as you can. I appreciate that. We all do. We want to stay afloat here. We want to keep going on, because let's face it, there's very few of us around anymore. And I tell you what, I think we are making some serious ground. Because after this Mueller report was just released here, and it flopped on them big time, the Democrats are scrambling. I mean, if you've noticed MSNBC, CNN, and all the other mainstream media talking heads, they are losing ground. They are losing listeners. They're losing their viewership. People are dropping off. They're saying, you know what? You promised this. You told me this. I believed you, and now you're a bunch of liars, and we caught you. You know, it's sad, but that's where we come in. The independent media, we're accountable. You know, I'm accountable. When I say something, I back it up. Or if I have a good, strong feeling about it, I'll say it's a strong feeling. I can't prove it. It's just kind of a strong feeling I have about the situation. But we're more accountable than they are. I mean, you never hear them come back and say, we got it wrong. Yeah. Well, you'll hear that from us. We got it wrong. I got it wrong. But for the most part, I think we're doing well on bringing you information, the truth of what we find in these stories and what's being left out. That's really important to get that out there. So I just want to say thank you. If you can reach around and take that arm, if it's long enough, and pat yourself on the back, do so. I always wish my arms were a little bit longer. I think Heavenly Father could have given us another 6 inches on the arms, because it's really hard to wash your back. You ever had that problem? I guess that's why they invented the loofah sponge on a stick, because our arms just aren't long enough. So, but if you can reach around, pat yourself on the back, you are appreciated. You guys are sharp and stay that way. You've got the critical thinking skills. This is awesome. I love it when people can look outside the box and look at the problem and say, what's the solution? What can we do? And, you know, sooner or later, when this whole house of cards comes crumbling down, crashing down here, they'll have to do something. We'll own it all. We'll definitely have the power. The people will have the power to make change again, because the rats will leave. They'll jump ship. They'll take off. And we'll be able to build this country. And the one the caller said, what was it, MAVA? Yeah, vaccinations again. I've always been a big believer on MAHA, M-A-H-A, Make America Honorable Again. Not great again. I think of this great again as I think of conquering other nations, and the nation building continues, and we continue to do what we're doing right now, and regime changes, and just making the world a mess. It really is a mess. I mean, we had a president that promised us just the opposite: peace, commerce, friendship, working with other world leaders, and we're really not getting any of that. So very, very disappointing. But I just wanted to thank you and continue to send me those emails, and we'll go back and forth. That I appreciate it. So the story, wife's working on the T-shirt project here. We're working on this nice machine, trying to figure out how to do it. And one of her friends came over, and she needed some shirts done for a school, a bunch of kids. And so she's using our machine to show us how to work it and everything. It's pretty cool. So she brings over another friend. And I'm doing my little stuff around the house. So I'm in the studio here. I'm going out. I'm looking at some articles. I come out, make a few phone calls. I'm cooking, making myself a little dinner. And they're in the living room working on this press. And I overhear some of the conversation, and my wife kind of slipped up. She said, my husband has a show on Republic Broadcast Network, talks about politics. And so the woman kind of piped up, and she's, oh, really? I like politics. I like to talk about it. My husband and I both love to talk about politics. She's from Venezuela. I don't know how long she's been in this country. I didn't pick up any accents, but she sounds like she's been here a long, long time, but probably came here as a child. And so she started asking me what I thought about what's going on in Venezuela. I didn't quite feel the situation out yet. I just jumped right into it. And I said, well, this is what's going on. I know the mainstream media is saying this, but Nicolas Maduro is not the evil man, the dictator that you are being told. And then she said, well, he bombed my family's house. Well, I didn't get into it then because my wife gave me the evil eye to say, you probably ought to stop. And so I did. But I did ask a couple questions, and I had gone a little further. I would have asked her, do you understand what a false flag event is? Most people don't know what a false flag event is, how far it goes back, and that our country does it, our government does it. Lots of governments probably do it. I think our government is probably the kingpin of it all, the whole program of false flags and pointing a finger of blame to somebody else. They're the best at it. We see it all the time. Many signs of it. There's actually on the internet, you can find there's 45 admitted cases of false flags that the United States government admitted that they did. So now we all understand that false flags are real and they do exist and our government uses them. So are you saying that if somebody doesn't believe them, would they go back and say, well, that was back then. They probably did it back then. They had to. They find some rationale of why anyone would use a false flag, first of all. Targeting innocent people or even their own people for an agenda. But they would probably find some rationale to say, well, that was then, and it's much different now. We have a much more honest government now. We're transparent. Well, we're really not transparent. No, we don't have transparency. Every time I hear Donald Trump talk about transparency in his administration, I want to laugh, because we don't have transparency. We don't. It's not there. We're being lied to all along the way. We're lied to on everything you can think of. The numbers, the economic numbers. Everything is a lie when it comes down to a monetary number is an absolute lie. I've got eyeballs. I've got eyes. I can see for my own self how the economy is doing. It's not strong. It's not. And I have to tell people this, to look at the Baltic Dry Index. Look at these things. Look at these economic indicators. Understand quantitative easing. Understand plunge protection. What their purpose is. It's a hard job to teach people all this stuff. And I tell you what, when I first learned of all this, I was shocked. Probably maybe just as shocked as they are now looking at me when I'm telling them this stuff. So I'm feeling her out. She's asking about Venezuela, and I told her what the truth was about regime change. Of course, that Venezuela is trying to move away from our fiat currency, the dollar, trade their oil on something else, because our dollar is losing value. It holds no value. It has no current. It has nothing to hold its value. You know, leaving the gold standard in 1974 was a huge mistake. That's Nixon's fault. But we don't have any precious metal to back our currency to keep value. So it's essentially like monopoly money, and they're creating it out of thin air in the central banks. So I talked to her about this stuff, and I, I think maybe I was going a little too fast, talking about centralized banks and how they create money out of thin air and lend it back to you at interest. And I talked about regime change, and I talked about the currency changeover, and that's anytime a government decides from another country decides to leave our currency, leave our central banking system, our cabal, basically they become an enemy of the United States, and then we have to make war on them because we have to. You can't have one leaving the nest. It sends a message to the other countries, well, I want to leave the nest too. I don't want to be part of centralized banking. Well, you can't do that. That's the scam of it all. You have to all be on board with centralized banking. So I'm talking about this here. And then I just decided to throw a little question at her just to see what she really knows. And I didn't mention false flag. I think if we'd gone longer on the conversation, I would have said that. Do you know what a false flag is? And how countries or people can be framed for something they didn't do. And it fits the agenda. So what I did was I asked her one simple, easy question. Do we live in a democracy? And she was quiet. She looked at me and she gave me those eyes like he's trying to trip me up. She didn't answer. And I said, well, we actually live in a constitutional republic with some democratic principles. Yes, we do, she said. She piped right up and said, yes, we do. And then she said, well, I think, I said, if you understand really what democracy is, and democracy would be majority rule, or in some cases, if it's depending on the subject matter, it could be mob rule. Well, it's interesting. She didn't quite understand it that way, but then she goes, well, okay. So her husband's an attorney. She's a school teacher. And I think if she understand the economic impact on a democracy, a true democracy, mob rule or majority rule, that the majority could say, well, I'm going to tax you because you are an attorney. You make a lot of money. I'm going to tax you at this rate here and share that wealth. Share your wealth with the rest of these people here. So I don't think she quite understand the economic impact of how this could really be devastating for people who have something. He has something. She hasn't quite thought of it this way. So she didn't know. She didn't know what a false flag was. And I quickly just said, you know, she talked about voting and thinking that maybe we should have a popular vote. I'm sure she doesn't know about the fraud in the last election, as all elections. But thinking that's why I got into understanding, you understand, with majority rule or mob rule, the economic impact on those who have. So she didn't quite understand any of that. So I let it go and walked away. And I later on said to my wife, I said, bad mistake. Mistake. Don't do that again. And again, she's a good, perfect example of the brainwashing from mainstream media of how if you repeat it over and over again, in time, people will understand or believe what they're being told. I theorized long ago when CNN decided to do the 24/7 news service, I said there's a problem right there. I knew this would probably happen, that it would be a perfect tool for propaganda and disinformation. At reel to reel, over and over and over again, the same story, the wrong information, to infuse in your mind, to have you believing that what they're telling you is the truth. And over time, that's why in advertising, you always hear the advertisers mention their product, their name, and their telephone number 3 times. Over and over and over until it sinks into your brain there, until you remember the product, the manufacturer, and hopefully the telephone number 3 times. Any more than that, my God, they're gonna drill it in your head. You're going to go to bed at night, be singing the song, their little theme song for their product. And there's a reason why. That's why I said the 24/7 CNN news service was going to be an evil, a very bad thing. Bad information, propaganda, and it was going to sink in. As Vincent Finelli would say, he refers to the GDP, the general dumb population. And unfortunately, you guys don't fall in that category because you're a smart group. You listen to this show, you listen to this network, you would get you inform yourself, you learn from the website, and you share it with others. And others become intelligent too. in what's going on in the real world. Strange times, strange times. Ken, do we have time to play that clip yet or not before the break? Let's go ahead and play this clip. And I want to play, let me give you the intro of this clip here. It's Rowan Atkinson. You probably remember him as Mr. Bean, a very funny comic, British comic, but also a man who was very serious, and he was an intelligent man. And this goes back, I think, to 2012. He did a little speech before some congregation there talking about free speech and the new intolerance to speech. And he wanted to talk about that a little bit. And it is important to understand this free speech and what's happening here, what we're seeing left and right about, well, free speech, or is it permitted speech? And I thought it was such a good enough clip. It's like 9 minutes and 20 seconds long. We're going to play the entire clip, and then we can go back to the phones if somebody calls in. Other than that, I've got more information to go over. So go ahead, and Ken, and go ahead and run that, that video. Got it. A little time here. It's coming.
My starting point when it comes to the consideration of any issue relating to free speech is my passionate belief that the second most precious thing in life is the right to express yourself freely. The most precious thing in life, I think, is food in your mouth. And the third most precious is a roof over your head. But a fixture for me in the number two slot is free expression, just below the need to sustain life itself. That is because I have enjoyed free expression in this country all my professional life and fully expect to continue to do so. Personally, I suspect, highly unlikely to be arrested for whatever laws exist to contain free expression because of the undoubtedly privileged position that is afforded to those of a high public profile. So my concerns are less for myself and more for those more vulnerable because of their lower profile. Like the man arrested in Oxford for calling a police horse gay. Or the teenager arrested for calling the Church of Scientology a cult, or the cafe owner arrested for displaying passages from the Bible on a TV screen. When I heard of some of these more ludicrous offences and charges, I remembered that I had been here before in a fictional context. I once did a show called Not the 9 o'clock News some years ago, and we did a sketch where Griff Rhys-Jones played Constable Savage, a manifestly racist police officer to whom I, as his station commander, is giving a dressing down for arresting a black man on a whole string of ridiculous, trumped up and ludicrous charges. The charges for which Constable Savage arrested Mr. Winston Kadogo of 55 Mercer Road were these: walking on the cracks in the pavement. Walking in a loud shirt in a built-up area during the hours of darkness. And one of my favorites, walking around all over the place. He was also arrested for urinating in a public convenience and looking at me in a funny way. Who would have thought that we would end up with a law that would allow life to imitate art so exactly? I read somewhere a defender of the status quo claiming that the fact that the gay horse case was dropped after the arrested man refused to pay the fine, and that the Scientology case was also dropped at some point during the court process, was proof that the law was working well, ignoring the fact that the only reason these cases were dropped was because of the publicity that they had attracted. The police sensed that ridicule was just around the corner and withdrew their actions. But what about the thousands of other cases that did not enjoy the oxygen of publicity, that weren't quite ludicrous enough to attract media attention? Even for those actions that were withdrawn, people were arrested, questioned, taken to court, and then released. You know, that isn't a law working properly. That is censoriousness of the most intimidating kind, guaranteed to have, as Lord Deer says, a chilling effect on free expression and free protest. Parliament's Joint Committee on Human Rights summarized, as you may know, this whole issue very well by saying, while arresting a protester for using threatening or abusive speech may, depending on the circumstances, be a proportionate response, we do not think that language or behavior that is merely insulting should ever be criminalized in this way. The clear problem with the outlawing of insult is that too many things can be interpreted as such. Criticism is easily construed as insult by certain parties. Ridicule, easily construed as insult. Sarcasm, unfavorable comparison, merely stating an alternative point of view to the orthodoxy, can be interpreted as insult. And because so many things can be interpreted as insult, it is hardly surprising that so many things have been, as the examples I talked about earlier show. Although the law under discussion has been on the statute book for over 25 years, it is indicative of a culture that has taken hold of the programs of successive governments that, with the reasonable and well-intentioned ambition to contain obnoxious elements in society, has created a society of an extraordinarily authoritarian and controlling nature. That is what you might call the new intolerance, a new but intense desire to gag uncomfortable voices of dissent. I am not intolerant, say many people, say many softly spoken, highly educated, liberal-minded people. I'm only intolerant of intolerance. And people tend to nod sagely and say, oh, yes, wise words. And yet if you think about this supposedly inarguable statement for longer than 5 seconds, you realize that all it is advocating is the replacement of one kind of intolerance with another, which to me doesn't represent any kind of progress at all. Underlying prejudices, injustices, or resentments are not addressed by arresting people. They are addressed by the issues being aired, argued, and dealt with, preferably outside the legal process. For me, the best way to increase society's resistance to insulting or offensive speech is to allow a lot more of it. As with childhood diseases, you can better resist those germs to which you have been exposed. We need to build our immunity to taking offence so that we can deal with the issues that perfectly justified criticism can raise. Our priority should be to deal with the message, not the messenger. As President Obama said in an address to the United Nations only a month or so ago, laudable efforts to restrict speech can become a tool to silence critics or oppress minorities. The strongest weapon against hateful speech is not repression, it is more speech. And that's the essence of my thesis, more speech. If we want a robust society, we need more robust dialogue, and that must include the right to insult or to offend. And as, even if, as Lord Deere says, you know, the freedom to be inoffensive is no freedom at all. The repeal of this word in this clause will be only a small step, but it will, I hope, be a critical one in what should be a longer-term project to pause and slowly rewind a creeping culture of censoriousness. It is a small skirmish in the battle, in my opinion, to deal with what Sir Salman Rushdie refers to as the outrage industry. Self-appointed arbiters of the public good, encouraging media-stoked outrage to which the police feel under terrible pressure to react. A newspaper rings up Scotland Yard. Someone has said something slightly insulting on Twitter about someone who we think a national treasure. What are you going to do about it? And the police panic and they scrabble around and then grasp the most inappropriate lifeline of all, Section 5 of the Public Order Act, that thing where you can arrest anybody for saying anything that might be construed by anyone else as insulting. You know, they don't seem to need a real victim, they need only to make the judgment that somebody could have been offended if they had heard or read what has been said, the most ludicrous degree of latitude. The storms that surround Twitter and Facebook comment have raised some fascinating issues about free speech, which we haven't really yet come to terms with. Firstly, that we all have to take responsibility for what we say, which is quite a good lesson to learn. But secondly, we've learned how appallingly prickly and intolerant society has become of even the mildest adverse comment. The law should not be aiding and abetting this new intolerance. Free speech can only suffer if the law prevents us from dealing with its consequences. I offer my wholehearted support to the Reform Section 5 campaign. Thank you very much.
Wise words. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean there, talking about free speech and now the new intolerance to speech, permitted speech, basically. And we have that problem with that here in this country, too. And it's nice that he's able to say so. I guess when you have privilege, if you're an actor, you have wealth and power, you're able to say these things. You and I, we can say them, but nobody's going to listen, unfortunately. But criticism. I wholeheartedly believe in criticism, and we should be able to question things we don't think that sound right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's an intelligent man who questions things that don't sound right. I'm not going to be a slave and never will be, so I'm going to ask questions. Things don't sound right, ask questions. You should do the same. Use that critical thinking skill, you know, use this. It's important, and share the information. Got to go back to that question here, actually, the scenario with the young female. Some other questions real quick I wanted to throw out at you, or just comments. I threw at her, talking about the democracy, you know, what do we have? And we have a constitutional republic with some democratic principles. But I asked her, I said, and she evidently, you know, when somebody is watching the mainstream media, when they cite something and it's verbatim, word for word, from what mainstream media has just told them. They didn't even alter it at all. When it's the exact wording, I know that this is a good example of how mainstream media has brainwashed this person to believe exactly what they've told them. So when I hear that, I know right away, that's not your own words. That's not your own thought. That's CNN. That's MSNBC or whatever. It's not you. So I did ask her one question. I said, do you believe everything the mainstream media tells you? No, she said. I said, do you believe everything the government tells you? No. So selectively, you decide for yourself based on what? No evidence whatsoever, just on gut feelings, I guess, to say, this time they're telling me the truth, and this time they're lying to me. So when you tell me that your family was bombed and Nicolas Maduro is responsible for it, first of all, you never offered me any proof whatsoever. I'm a proof guy. I need proof. Show me the proof. Show me the evidence. You're telling me something that somebody told you, maybe a family member or who, somebody, but you don't make your case. You don't have the case. So she understands that they don't tell us the truth all the time. So selectively, they do. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. So how do you know this time they're telling you the truth? That's where I need the evidence, the proof, to make your case, to say that Nicolas Maduro is this mad, evil man who has to be removed. And, of course, the puppet Guaido, who is endorsed by the United States, will take over the interim president to be president. I don't know. Am I wasting my time talking to people like this? Can I break that shell around them, that protective shell where they're so, I know it all. Can I break that shell and inform this person of really what's going on here? About nation building, about regime changes, how this is our history now. Yeah, I always thought the British were doing this. Now we're that way. We're exactly what we fought against, the British. We've become the British. Divide and conquer, conquest, steal resources. Off the Beaten Path, we'll be right back.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back. Phone lines are open. 1-800-313-9443. What's on your mind? Last couple days, I keep missing this movie in its entirety. I always wanted to watch it, and I actually went out looking for it to find it. I didn't find it yet. I was watching a little bit of The Patriot with Mel Gibson, the Revolutionary War, and the fighting spirit, pushing back the Brits, fighting for America. And I started to think about what we have actually out there today. What's fighting to save our country, the population, the people? It's certainly not these millennials, not the snowflakes. The Democrats are trying to tear it down. I guess I don't know where they're going to go. If they tear down, you know, civilization and America's goes in the toilet, where are they going to go? I don't know. I guess they haven't thought it out quite that far ahead. I don't know. But I was taken back by the enthusiasm, the commitment, the dying commitment to save their country, to fight the British, to, you know, to make America, you know, survive and make America America. Actually, it wasn't America then. And I just don't see it. I don't see it. This is a This is not interesting times. These are bizarre times. And I can't explain what has happened, how this lack of enthusiasm has got to this point where people just don't care. They're too comfortable. The kids, they're just out of tune with everything. They just, you know, they're into their video games, they're into their music, whatever. They don't understand what is going on. Starting from a different baseline than I am and you are, as far as rights goes, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, they're starting from a different base. I've seen the loss. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, and that's why I'm fighting hard to bring attention to what we've lost in America. That we're really not a free people, not as free as we want to be. And I mean, just this little HOA thing here that got under my skin for a little while there. This is just a small example of how controlling these people are, and they've given themselves a lot of power to be power over you. Well, not for much longer. Not for much longer. So when I hear Rowan Atkinson talk about free speech, permitted speech, intolerance to what we have to say, you got two choices. Like I say, you can clam up, say nothing, or you can keep speaking what you got to say. And I suggest you do number two, continue to criticize. Continue to disagree where you need to disagree. Continue to educate other people. And don't be silenced. And don't accept, do not accept a label, a derogatory label to shut you down. That's the first attack they take to shut you up. Why? Because they can't make the argument to back their case up. You have the argument. You can back it up. They can't, so they resort to dirty, nasty tricks to label you, to call you a homophobe, to call you this or that. No, doesn't stick. So I say, continue on, march on, soldier. I'm going to march on and keep saying what I've got to say. They don't like it. Tough. Grow a pair. Get some thicker skin. Disagreement. It's good. Builds character. Little injury builds character. Make you a better man in the future. Tell him that. Tell him Steve said that. All right, well, let's talk about what happened on Saturday a little bit. It's interesting timing. Actually, I'm going to go to a call first here. I don't want to exclude anybody. Thomas in Florida, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hello, Thomas.
Yes, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I heard you talking earlier about your problem with your, I'm switching a little bit from earlier conversation. You were having trouble with your HOA. I have a friend who lives over in Lee County, Florida, but I assume the laws are about the same. He has a couple of horses, and he managed to put in get what they call agricultural exemption. Mm-hmm. I was over there a year ago, and he put in probably about an 80 by 100 foot prefabricated building with great big sliding door. I mean, this is a beautiful structure, right? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, "You realize I didn't even have to contact the county before I did this? I just did it.
Good.
It didn't bother me at all." And so what I'm getting at is, if you got to an area where you could manage to get what they call an agricultural exemption, and you'll have some chickens or whatever is required, I'm not sure. He does it with horses, okay? And he's scot-free. I couldn't believe that you built this. He said, I never even called them. It's none of their business because I'm building a needful structure on my property for my agricultural business.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I can do pretty much where I want to on my property here. And across a ways, there's several horse ranches. So where they raise horses, and I don't know if they're racing horses or what. But no, I don't think there's going to be a problem in this region. I could put horses in my backyard. I could fence it off. I could put chickens in there. And if I did put chickens, I'd put some hens and no rooster, of course. But yeah, I could probably do that if I wanted to. But I build some nice gardens, some nice above ground gardens, and I'm going to make it what I want to. This is my little fortitude, you know, here, my fortress, and I'm going to enjoy it. This is nobody's going to tell me what I can't do, and I'm not going to get crazy. I'm just going to live, you know. I'm going to live.
Yeah, you can put up a pole barn. You can, you know, if it's got to do with agriculture, you can pretty much do what you want. Right. He put in a horse stable. He didn't pull a permit at all. He just put it in. Beautiful horse stable.
Well, you heard my thought there. My second one was sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. If you ask for permission, what are you doing? You're actually giving somebody some authorization, some power over you right from the very beginning. You're asking, can I do this? Can I do this? You're giving them authorization and power over you immediately by asking for permission.
Yeah, you're giving them license.
I'm taking the second route. I'm taking the second route. I'll do what I got to do. And if it violates something here, show me where. And, oh, hey, I'm sorry. Let it go.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say is I've called a couple of different shows. I've just relatively recently discovered this guy named Dr. E. Michael Jones. And he's got some fabulous lectures. He's written some books. And he's an older fellow. He's in his 70, maybe. And he's got some fabulous lectures on pretty much our whole dilemma, tying it in with our Christian culture and where we've gone wrong. And I'd recommend all your listeners to just go on YouTube and look up Dr. E. Michael Jones. And he's a hoot. He's fun to listen to. He'll make you laugh. But he's quite scholarly, and he ties everything back to the Greek and Roman times and European history and the wars and our Christian religion and how we've kind of gone off the tracks. And I think he's quite an interesting listen.
I think we've gone way off the tracks, to tell you the truth, Thomas. We're way off the tracks. And
I
don't know.
He's fascinating.
Okay, I'll check him out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and hopefully your listeners will remember that. Dr. E. Michael Jones, just listen to some of his stuff. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. You know, at least an hour long in various venues where he's speaking. He speaks in Europe, too. He spoke in Poland and different places, and they'll probably be kicking him out soon. But no, he's excellent.
Okay, I'll check him out. Hey, thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, back to the phones again. Art Off the Grid, you're on.
Hey, Steve. I've been trying, like, almost since the beginning of the broadcast to get through, and I kept getting a busy signal till I come in here and got on the computer. Goes right straight through, so I think my phone is being screwed with. It's weird, man. I don't get it. I think my phone's being screwed with, but they can only do so much with Internet. Anyway, I wanted to comment on the caller earlier that was talking about in war, you can't be polite or nice.
Right.
You have to just come straight at it.
Right.
And it made me think about yesterday. A buddy and I were sitting in a restaurant yesterday, and we were having coffee, and we were talking about politics. You know, they were airing that synagogue out there in California, Pow-Tow or whatever the name of that town was.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next. Yeah.
And I was talking about, you wait. If they come out with, you know, this is a white supremacist, he's got a manifesto on Facebook, and I went through the whole list of things, I said, that is a staged event. Now, there's a difference between a false flag and a staged event. I describe it like this. A false flag never happened. That would be an example of that would be the Gulf of Tonkin. It never happened. That's a false flag. A staged event is something that actually takes place, like, I don't know, Nero's soldiers burning Rome down. Perfect example, staged event. There are real victims, real consequences, but this plays into the Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. And during this conversation, I was using words like damn, hell, dumbasses, things like this. And this woman turns to me and she says, excuse me, but would you mind watching your language? This was after they had just got done saying grace for lunch. And I looked at the lady, and here is where I went into my war mode. I looked at her and I said, excuse me, ma'am, but you and your girlfriend come in here with your children. You're wearing short shorts that leave absolutely nothing to the imagination. I mean, for God's sake, when you get up, I can see your CT.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use letters here. You know what that means, CT?
I do.
Your girlfriend here is wearing a shirt that barely covers over her breasts. I can see her belly button piercing and all of this. You're dressed like a couple sluts, and you're worried about my language. everybody in the restaurant is paying attention. I said, you are a perfect example of the moral degradation of this country. My language using words like hell, damn, and dumbass are nothing in compared to the way you're dressing, setting an example for your children.
Good for you.
This is
good for you. Good for you to call that out. I'm glad
out
you did.
There.
That's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. You made your argument. You made your statement, your comment, your argument. You had the proof right there. How did she respond, by the way?
She's like, well, I said, yeah. Why don't you just sit down and shut up? Because right now you have no argument. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be out there in public, calling attention to this kind of stuff.
Agree.
Calling them out for what they really are. Showing them what they really are. And stop letting them demonize us when we speak the truth.
Well, also point out the double standard, Art. Point out that double standard, because they'll point a finger at you for this. And you point a finger back and say, hey, what about this? Yeah.
And they had just got done saying grace over their dinner. Okay, this is pure hypocrisy. This is what we need to be doing, folks. We need to be out there catching them doing and calling attention to this. This is where we need to take the fight. We stop worrying about these jackasses in Washington because we're never going to get through to them. Stop worrying about these idiots who sit in state legislature because you're never going to get through to them. Take the fight to the people.
I agree. I'm glad you weren't silent there, because I would have done the same thing. And I love calling a spade a spade. And you know, it's funny, I could use that phrase. And I've actually had somebody call me and say one time, you know, that's a racist comment. And I said, do you actually know what that means? Do you know what that means? There's many different meanings behind that, but one of them is the game of cards. There's another one. But of course, there's a spade for digging and tools and gardening and stuff like that. But there's many different terms. Yeah, there's many different meanings behind that phrase, and they attempted to make a racial comment that I was saying a spade was black, and you're being nasty and mean. But again, this is these are ignorant people, and I have no problem calling out stupid people for saying stupid things, and we should, because if we call them out, maybe they'll shut up and go away. But if you don't, they're going to continue on. So I call it out. Call it out. There you go.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, thanks, man. Have a great one. Talk to you later.
All right. Hey, thanks, Art. Going back to the phones again here, I've got one, a guy on Earth by the name of Dave on Earth. You're on the show.
Yes. They constantly ask me what state I'm from. I'm not from any of the state corporations. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. So that's why I rephrase that that way, Steve. I do not understand something you mentioned earlier, saying that we or you live in a constitutional republic. I really don't see that as being accurate. The constitutional republic that was, I mean, Ralph Winterud even speaks of the fact that there's only three constitutional courts within the United States, whatever that is. How do you presume that we have and are living in a constitutional republic when most of us are claiming to be 14th Amendment United States citizens?
I see your argument there. I do see your argument. But the principles,
right,
the founding fathers, what they've decided was it was a constitutional republic, that you'd have representatives representing their congregation, their constituents, and that's what the term I was referring to. Are we actually still living that? No, mostly no. I'll agree with that 14th Amendment. But the principle, the main emphasis on my argument or my discussion with her was, we were created with the thought, the theory of a constitutional republic. That's the point.
Yeah, that's been drilled into a lot of people's heads, and they think this is operative. And, you know, you can go into the court and declare, oh, why is this constitutional? They said this is, no, this is part of the U.S. corporation or some other corporation which is incorporated, meaning joined with the United States.
Right.
So I think if we really want to do something effective, We need to look at what is real, what is. As Ayn Rand said, whether you like it or not, he did say, what is. And if the Constitutional Republic is not active in the way that we are behaving, or our status or whatever, I don't have the answer to that, how to solve that. But we cannot ask this corporation to do what we want or to follow the Constitution, because it doesn't matter to them. Yeah, that's what I see to be true.
I agree with
you. I'm open to ideas on it.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. You're right.
We have to find a different way. Okay.
Well, I'm thinking the whole system has to collapse first, and then we have a chance at this. Right now, they're still in control. We'll come right back to it. Murr in Wisconsin, stay on the line there. We'll go right back to you when we come back. This is Off the Beaten Path.
More often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
We're going to go right back to the phones here real quick. Dave, I'm going to ask you to kind of finish it up quick because I got one more caller behind you. I don't want to cheat anybody today. Dave's still there.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish up a couple of minutes there, and I've got one more behind you, so don't go too long-winded now.
I don't have much to say other than the fact that we need to look and find out what we can claim to be. I think if we're participating as United States citizens, this is really an all-caps corporation, and we need to step aside and also say that we are living men, maybe like Al Whitney does. Mm-hmm. I think we need to consider this and search for this as an answer, because we're not going to have any gun rights under the Constitution when the Constitution doesn't apply. Right. That's the main point.
One last thing here, and you'll probably call back again, but think about this. What do you think about creating a patriot group, an education group in your communities, people setting up and contacting like-minded people to talk about issues, discussion, politics? Think about that. And
it's
I need
great
to
as
to
long as
car,
we can identify the operatives who are going to come in there.
Excellent
thing to do. Excellent.
Okay.
Because I
Thank
can't
you
do
very
it
much.
Myself alone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, thanks, Dave. All right, going to go back to the phone here. Murr in Wisconsin, welcome back. I haven't heard from you in a long time. You are on the show. Hey.
You know, the last call I made before I had no more phone service was January 6th to you. And Christ spoke through me when he said, there is only Christ and Antichrist. And that's what we're seeing. You know, running the world through sodomy and usury is wrong. But to tie some of your last three callers together there, E. Michael Jones, and all this is posted in your offthebeatenpath.chatango.com, E. Michael Jones YouTube, but he talks of how, like a street cafe, he and a friend are having a conversation, and he mentions the word homosexual, and this is in South Bend, where Buttigieg is making the waves. Someone walks up to him and says, did you say homosexual? He said, yes, I did. And he says, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm offended. He said, well, I'm offended that you're eavesdropping on my conversation. So Culture Wars is his site too. There's another one, Fidelity Press is down right now. But then this bit with citizenship, Ralph Witteroad, I heard his name mentioned, it reminded me. Mm-hmm. And when he filled in for John, I found the link that the citizen of the United States is a federal citizen and you have no domicile and no rights and no constitution, but are under the plenary power, absolute control of Congress. So this question that Wilbur's coming up with on a census, it's a trick. I wouldn't check it, anybody.
I wouldn't either.
Trying to say, no. I mean, even if you're a citizen of the states, that's one thing, you know. But and the other thing, Ayn Rand, I don't want to put so much weight on Miss Rosenbaum, the mistress to a Rothschild, and that novel was a devil trick. When the lights go out in New York, it's all over. But
I agree with you. There's a trick. It is a trick. Something going on there because, first of all, they're not even going to answer anything on the questionnaire. These are people under the radar. They don't want to give attention where they are, so they're not going to even look at it. They're going to trash that census questionnaire, just throw it away. They're not going to answer anything on it. Done. Mm-hmm. It's tracking. It's tracking.
We have a problem here with people not being able to think evilly enough, because we are in deep evil. That's what it is. There's no other word for it.
Well, I agree with you. And the homosexual that was listening to your conversation, I would have said the same thing.
Right.
I mean, geez, come on. Homosexual. Okay.
It's beyond,
what is wrong
it's
with that?
Race.
It's the truth. Yeah.
It's beyond race now. It's gone to you can't criticize because they're queer. And they've pumped this guy up from nowhere. Yeah. To be a big force. His husband is Chasen, and he's a Jew, probably a dual citizen. Mm-hmm. So that's another angle, along with the sodomy and the usury.
Yep. All right.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you for your call, Murr. I always get a kick out of people that, people of color using the N-word towards each other, and if you use it, it would be a bad thing. It's a taboo, but... Yes, they can use the Q word against each other, and that's okay. That's acceptable. But if I were to use that word, my gosh. So offended by the word homosexual. Amazing. Well, be offended. Like I said, it builds character, thickens your skin, makes a better person out of you. Well, that completes our show today. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Hey, it is an insane world out there. Look for happiness where you can find it. a little words to wisdom here from Plato. Music gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything else. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We'll see you next week. Good night. Mean to feel right, but I missed that.